So this morning we're going to sort of bring to a conclusion, for now anyway, our short study series on the Holy Spirit. And just by way of recap for the first few moments, you know, we talked about how the Holy Spirit was, from Genesis through to Revelation, he is involved in the people of God, in their lives. He was in creation. The Spirit of God hovered above the chaos, calling it into being. He was right the way through the Old Testament, inspiring the prophets who were God's spokesmen and women to the nations. He was inspiring all of God's leaders through the Old Testament. We saw how the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism and filled him with power and authority to do what Isaiah had prophesied, that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord would be upon him and he would open the eyes of the blind and set the captives free and usher in a season and a time of such grace and blessing that the world had never seen before. And immediately he reads those words and he puts down that scroll in the temple. He begins that ministry of healing those who were sick, raising those some of those who had died, bringing wholeness and healing, meaning and significance and purpose into people's lives. We saw how the Holy Spirit was the one who poured out into the lives of the disciples on that first day of Pentecost, birthing the church in fire and passion and evangelistic zeal as they went out onto the streets to talk about the mighty works of God. And immediately 3,000 people respond to the message. And right through the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is the one speaking to the apostles. Separate Paul and Barnabas for mission. Don't go here, go there. Pouring into the apostles wisdom and understanding as they wrote to the believers in the first century how to live, how to connect with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the descriptions of the Spirit, how he's like the gift, the promise, how he is Christ's betrothal gift to the church. We talked about the experience, the dynamic experience of receiving the person of the Holy Spirit into our lives. And he's described as being baptized in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, streams of living water pouring from within us, being baptized with fire. The descriptions tell us it was not something like a warm, fuzzy feeling 10 years ago, and that was it. It was dynamic, powerful, and real, and life-changing, and empowering for all of God's people. We talked about how we were to be people of the Spirit. People who lived lives in relationship with the Holy Spirit, hearing him, listening to him, knowing his voice, responding and walking with him in our daily lives. That he was the one called alongside us to help us. He's the one who helps us to pray when we're not really sure how we ought to pray. He's the one who brings God's wisdom, God's grace, God's truth, and God's word into our inner being and helps us and guides us in our daily walk of discipleship. So we've said a lot in the last couple of weeks, haven't we? So I want to try and sort of frame all of that with a final 3 hours of message. I want to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I wanted to entitle this one, thanks Neil, next slide please, is called Powerful Living. Because that's who he is. He is God, the Holy Spirit. And he is poured out to every child of God. He's not just for enthusiastic or mature believers who have somehow attained some sort of standard and get rewarded by God with the Holy Spirit. He is for every child of God, everyone who has repented from their sins, believed in Jesus, been baptized in water in faith and obedience. The gift of God to those people is the Holy Spirit. Amazing. That's awesome. That's you and me. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you and your children and everyone who is far off. Because God's heart, God's will, is that all his children should live in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I would go so far as to say that it is not possible to live the Christian life, this walk of faith, which is intrinsically spiritual, through intellect, emotions, and personality. That's a part of it. It'll involve our intellect. It'll involve our emotions. It'll involve our personality. But walking in this life of faith is intrinsically spiritual. And we need the power of the Spirit to be able to do that. Is that worth an amen?
Amen.
So I want to talk briefly this morning about just a few. I mean, there were so many verses that I could have pulled this from. And I was like, oh my gosh, we've only got a short while. So I'm going to have to trim this right down. So I took loads and loads out of what I've originally written around this. And I just want us to visit a few scriptures together, just for us to capture again. Wow, I need a fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit in order to live this life of faith. So let's just visit with Paul a few of his letters and a few of the phrases that he used as he wrote to believers in the first century about this powerful living, about the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer. So let's go to Romans first. And when he's writing to the Christians in Rome, he says this: live according to the Spirit. Live according to the Spirit. Live in step with the Spirit is how he says it when he's writing to the churches in Galatia. Keep in rhythm with the Holy Spirit. Find his rhythm and get in step with him. Don't ask him to match your rhythm. Huh, how many times have we done that? Find his rhythm. Get in step with him. Stay in sync with the Holy Spirit. Following his leading, following his guiding in our everyday lives. You know, I think Paul would say to us, develop your friendship with the Holy Spirit. Learn to discern his voice. How many of you would say, yeah, I know his voice when he speaks into my life? Yes. But how many of us sometimes feel, you know what? Sometimes I'm a little bit hard of hearing. Yeah. And all of the above. Somehow he speaks and we hear those whispers from the Spirit leading, guiding in our lives. Sometimes we're slow to respond. I have learned that it is so much better to respond quickly and straight away to the voice of the Spirit. And as we do that, we start to live according to the Holy Spirit. He walks with us every day. Do you remember that book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit? Any of you ever read that? Oh, it's a great book. It's a Benny Hinn book. And it's just about having this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Listening, hearing, getting to understand his voice, knowing when he draws near, and training our hearts and our minds to respond in faith and obedience to what he speaks to us. How many of you know our daily walk of discipleship will be so much better and so much fruitful if we learn to do that? Absolutely it would. Instead of struggling all the time, just do it. Just listen. And our lives would be so much better. Live according to the Spirit, says Paul. Then he goes on to say this. He says, God has anointed us. God has set his seal of ownership on us. God has put his Spirit in our hearts. How wonderful is that? Do you know, the authenticating mark in our lives that we belong to God is the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. That's his seal. That's his confirmation that we are his. Hey, do any of you ever struggle with, oh, there are times when I wonder if God really loves me at all. There's times when I wonder, could God ever forgive me for the things I've said, the things I've thought, the things I've done? When you look in your heart and you see the gracious life of the Holy Spirit, know this, he is God's everlasting seal on your life. And that's great. That comforts me. That helps me in my times of failure. That helps me in my times of error and straying heart. That helps me when I look into my heart and I see the working of the Holy Spirit in my life. I know he is the seal of God that says I belong to him. Amen. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that amazing? That mark, that seal tells me I belong to you. And no one, Jesus said, and nothing will ever take me from his hand. What a great comfort that is. The seal of the Spirit in our lives. Despite every failure, every human weakness in our lives, it is the presence of the Holy Spirit confirms and assures us that we belong to God, that we are his children. And Paul was always encouraging the churches that he ministered amongst, always helping them get into this rhythm of life in the Spirit, this flow. Look what he says to the Corinthians. He says this: "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Freedom is the environment for those who live in the Spirit. Freedom is the environment that the Holy Spirit brings to any group of believers, any church, any gathering of people who love Jesus. The Holy Spirit creates a culture and an environment of freedom for such people. That we live in a glorious freedom. Freedom to live above and beyond rules and regulations. Wow, now if that's not worth an amen, I don't know what is. Freedom to live beyond the evangelical mindset. Whoo! Yes! Now we're getting somewhere. Dare I say this? Freedom to live outside the Baptist rulebook. Freedom to live in the Spirit. Freedom to live and enjoy friendship with God every day. Freedom to forgive. Freedom to be forgiven. Who wants some of that? Freedom to serve others. Freedom to love and to be loved. Freedom. You know, I heard somebody preach once and they said something like this: love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and do what you like. I was like, what? And then I realized, you're absolutely right. Because if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, whatever you do will be what he would like. And what a liberating truth that can be in our lives. You know, we're so quick and so swift to condemn ourselves, aren't we? And to judge ourselves and to beat ourselves up sometimes over our failures. And all of the time, God is saying, I love you. You're my child. I've given you my Spirit. He's the seal over your heart. He creates freedom for you. Don't worry about the failings. My grace covers your failings. My Spirit in your heart brings you into freedom. Now, stand fast in that freedom for which Christ has set you free. And don't let yourself get tangled up again in a yoke of slavery. Freedom in the Holy Spirit. What would that look like every day in our lives? What would that look like when we gather together as church? What would that look like when we worship together, when we pray together, when we do mission together? What would it look like with this freedom of the Spirit as our culture, our environment, pouring through our hearts and lives? Wow, it'd be good, wouldn't it? Be exciting, be vibrant, be different, be challenging. Right into the Galatians, Paul says this to them. He says, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Does anybody, apart from me, struggle with the sinful nature from time to time? Here is the answer. Live by the Spirit. Because life in the Spirit is the antidote to sinful temptations and desires. Being filled and full of the Holy Spirit is the best defense we have against our sinful nature. The New Testament letters are just full of showing us this, that believers struggle with temptation and sin all their earthly lives. Hey, there's good news here today. Believers will struggle with sin and temptation all their earthly lives. If you haven't discovered that yet, let me just confirm that for you. That will be the case. But here's the great news. Living by the Spirit is our greatest defense against our sinful nature. To move and to flow in the power of the Spirit. And in a room of this size, with full of lovely people who have been Christians for quite some time, there is bound to be in our lives areas of struggle and temptation, areas of failure. There will be in our lives some depression. There will be addictions, whether that's pornography or alcohol, whether that is medication, whether that is love of money. Those things will always exist in the hearts of people, even though they love God. But the power to overcome them is life in the Spirit. It's not gritting our teeth and seeking to be more evangelical. It is tapping into the wonderful, amazing power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to live and walk in the freedom that Jesus died to make available to us. Come on. Amen? Amen. In a room like this, there's some of us who will struggle with gossip. We have a habit of talking down and talking people down. The answer? Living in the freedom and the power of the Holy Spirit. Life under the control of the Spirit. Friends, it is our best defense against temptation and against our sinful nature. So live by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the sinful nature. Christian life isn't a life marked by regular failure and falling. God intends it to be a life marked by triumphs and victories through the power of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. All right, Paul's writing to the Ephesians now, and he says this, very simple, be filled with the Spirit. Simple, clear, powerful. Every follower of Jesus needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to be able to live this life of faith. He is the source of our life in God. We draw all our ability and energy to live before God from the Holy Spirit at work within us. Whatever our personal struggle, the answer is be filled with the Spirit. What is your personal struggle? Whatever that is, let me tell you, the answer to it is be filled with the Spirit. And as you do this daily, and as you draw from the source of the life of the Holy Spirit every day, you will know an increasing freedom from whatever it is that you struggle with. And that's good news, isn't it? Now he's writing to the Thessalonians. He's getting a bit more theological now. Sometimes Paul was very direct, very clear, very unambiguous. Other times he was just inspired. And he writes some great theological truths. And when he's writing to the Thessalonians, he drops some of these in. Listen to this one. God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He says, listen, how many of you are glad that God chose you to be saved? And we'd all say, yes, wouldn't we? I mean, when you look around, you think, Lord, I think you could have chosen some people who might have been a bit more grateful. You could have chosen people who might have responded with a bit more enthusiasm. You could have chosen people who would have obeyed more readily. But I am so grateful that you chose me. I did not deserve it. How many of you know that? Well, you know that I did not deserve it. None of us deserved it. But here's the great thing. God chose you to be saved. Oh, you want to write that over the front door of your house tonight, huh? God chose me to be saved. But here's the thing. He uses two agents to bring that salvation to maturity in our lives. And the first one is the sanctifying work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit to make us more like Jesus. The work of the Spirit to bring us to completion. You know, I said this to you the other day. I remember that, you know, my life is like a building site with scaffolding around it. And there's a sign on the scaffolding, God at work. He's not finished with me yet. And he won't be finished with me till I step off this planet into eternity. And then he will unveil the work that's been going on behind the scaffolding. I'll tell you something now. It's going to look fantastic. Doesn't look quite so good right now, but he's still working on it. And he's still working on you. And he's going to bring it to completion. He promised it. He said, look, I've begun a good work in you, and I will bring it to completion one day. I'm so glad about that, aren't you? But the way that he's going to do that, through these two agents. And the first one is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we cooperate, as we agree with him, as we get in step with him, as we get in rhythm with him, as we are quick to obey and move with the Holy Spirit, we become more and more like him. It's amazing. And alongside that, believing in the truth strengthens the work of the Spirit in our lives. And the work of the Spirit in our lives strengthens our ability to believe the truth. Some things really go together, don't they? They go together really well. So if I was preaching up in Rhondda this morning, I would say like bread and butter, fish and chips, faggots and peas. But I'm in Rubina, so I'll say cheese and wine. I make a note of that for there. But some things just go together well. And the work of the Spirit and belief in the truth go together well to make us mature in Christ and bring us into a place of completion and maturity. So if you cooperate and move and run and stay in rhythm with the Holy Spirit whilst embracing and believing the truth in Scripture, guess what? This salvation grows into a much greater reality in our everyday lives. Now, who wants that? That's what we need. And we should be praying for each other. Maybe we'll have a chance to do that now this morning. That we would be people who would embrace the sanctifying work of the Spirit in our lives, and that we would believe the truth, and that we would grow up together. Do you remember Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You're in error because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God. You don't know the Word and you don't know the Spirit. That's why you don't know it." When you have both, when you know the Scriptures and the truth and the Word of God, and when you have the power and the presence of the Spirit making that Word real in your lives, then you will know the reality of what this salvation is all about. Come on. I need the sanctifying work of the Spirit in my life. I need to believe in the truth and have fresh revelation of the truth of God for me. And those two together would start to make me fruitful in the kingdom. He's writing to Hebrews now, and he says this: God testified to this salvation by signs, wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Our salvation, what we are in, is not just an intellectual assent to certain truths about God, but is a lifestyle characterized by the presence of the Spirit within us every day. And Paul says this: it is the work of the Spirit in you and among you that authenticates this faith, especially to unbelievers. That when they see the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the working, the moving, the gifts of the Spirit pouring through a people who have been redeemed and have come into the grace of God, they will be convinced of the reality of what you're preaching. It is the demonstration of the gifts and the miracles and the power of the Spirit in your midst that authenticates the faith we speak about. How many people in our nation are convinced about the reality of the message of the gospel by looking at the degree of Holy Spirit power in the church today? We owe it to those who are lost to be full of the Holy Spirit. And a church that's vibrant, full of the presence of God. And it's the presence of the Spirit in us that enables us to see something of the supernatural at work amongst us. You know, there have been moments and times throughout the years where we have seen the Holy Spirit, through ordinary Christians, do remarkable, outstanding things. And it leaves us wide-eyed and open-mouthed and just like, wow, God, you're at work. And it is a wonderful and an amazing thing to live through and to experience. My heart and my prayer is that we will experience a lot of that right now. That we will know the moving and the power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through gifts and miracles and through power and through dynamics. We would see God at work here with us. So much more to say. Paul is full of writing to the Christians, trying to convince these believers of their need to live in the power of the Spirit. So we leave it to Jude to sign off. Here he is. And he says this: "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit." Life in the Spirit develops this strong and increasing faith in our hearts, especially when we cooperate with Him in our prayer lives. When we come together corporately to pray, when we pray personally, learning to follow and learning to flow with the Holy Spirit in prayer really does something deep within our hearts in terms of the faith that we carry. Learning to listen and swiftly move with Him, learning to follow Him, learning to flow with Him, brings us to a place where we are attuned and our hearts are responsive quickly and our spirit is inclined to the Holy Spirit. And when we begin to pray, we don't just rely on our intellect or our feelings, but we begin to listen and lean into the Spirit. And He begins to whisper things into our ears, gives us insight, understanding, inspires us, leads us, guides us, prompts us, till we find ourselves flowing in the power and the presence of the Spirit. And we find then when we're praying with people, the prayer that we pray for them, they say to us after, "Wow, that was amazing. How did you know?" I didn't know. But He's just releasing things through our hearts when we're in this place. So who would say, "I would like to build myself up in my most holy faith"? Of course we would. Key: pray in the Holy Spirit. Lean in to the Holy Spirit. So what should we say? Life in the Holy Spirit was norm for New Testament believers. And so it should be for believers today. Amen? Let's be wary of a version of Christian faith that pays lip service to the Spirit but operates out of intellect and emotion. Because that is fake faith. The New Testament reality is living in the Spirit. And it's easy in our Western culture and our intellectualism to default back to the emotions and the mind. The New Testament is full of live in the power and the presence of the Spirit. And it's the Spirit who brings the presence of Jesus into the church. It's the Spirit who creates miracles, signs and wonders in our midst through the gifts that He entrusts to you and I. Life in the Spirit is characterized by righteousness and peace and joy and power and maturity. Are we going to be such people? We're going to live in a fresh season of the Spirit moving in our midst.